trusting that the Lord will help us tonight. Don't forget, we've got the, we're calling it the Smoky Mountain Youth Revival. We'll begin a week from this evening. Be a praying. Brother Mark Stroud called. He's scheduled to preach next Wednesday here. And he called me. He actually thought it was this week and called to back out. His mother's got Alzheimer's and fell. I think she broke her arm and maybe a hip or a leg and has been through some surgeries this week. And he called to say just no way he could make it this week. And of course, I called him back and let him know that it ain't this week, it's next week. And he said that he'd just have to wait and see how everything goes to be able to make it. But pray there for his mother. Pray the Lord give him discernment on what he needs to do. And if he can't make it, Brother Andy's going to come up and preach on Wednesday night. And so either way, we're going to get a good preacher. And pray for the meeting. Pray for Brother Tony Hudson, Barry Rackley, John Morgan, Brother Andy. Pray for Brother Lee Davis. And we've got some good men lined up. Pastor Philbeck be closing it out on Friday evening. And I'm looking forward to all that the Lord's going to do for us and meeting with us each and every night. Make plans on being here. I know several folks taking work off Thursday and Friday, so you can be here all day through the services. Can I tell you, that means a lot to you, Pastor, that you would do that and back that in that way. I know everybody can't do it, and so if you're in a position you didn't do it, I'm not belittling you at all, I understand. But it does mean a lot to us that folk would go that extra mile and make a way there to be a help and a blessing during the meeting. Matthew 21, stand with me if you will. Matthew chapter 21, we'll take a break out of the Psalms. This evening, I just want to encourage us in the Lord. Simple message tonight, familiar text. Verse number 12, the Bible said, "And Jesus went in the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And Jesus said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise." We'll leave off our reading there. I want to preach to us tonight, if the Lord will help us, on this thought, what church is all about. What church is all about? Jesus went in the temple, and I know it ain't the church, but it's a good picture here. I think the Lord's trying to communicate some things to them that they had gotten out of line with what God intended that place of worship to be, and tried to realign them and teach them what the house of God was all about. So we'll preach tonight on what church is all about. Father, I want to thank you tonight that we can be in church. I want to thank you tonight we can be in the house of the Lord. We know tonight, Lord, that the body, Lord, is weary this evening, and yet the Spirit is, Lord, led us to this place tonight. And God, we're here, and Lord, we need your help, and we need your touch. And God, I pray this evening that you'd fill us, Lord, with the words that need to be spoken. God, I know this evening there'll be nothing new covered. There'll be no, Lord, deep truth, Lord, discovered tonight. But Lord, may we understand this evening, Lord, have reaffirmed in our heart what we're to be doing, Lord, as a church. And Lord, I pray that you'd rekindle our fire and our burden for our community and Lord, for our church tonight. And Lord, I pray as we leave this place, may we be grateful for all that you do it and praise you as you're deserving to be praised. And Lord, I pray we'd leave encouraged tonight and be a part of the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, the house of God here in Newport, Tennessee. And Lord, all you do for us, we'll bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This evening, you can be seated this evening as we consider this passage of Scripture we've read to you tonight. I do want to point out there were two times in the ministry of Christ And he went to the temple to cleanse it. You know this tonight, but in John 2, in verses 13 through 22, Jesus went in, he made a whip, a scourge, if you will, and he went and he ran the crowd out there at the temple and cleansed it. And you'll find that was at the very beginning of his ministry. Some 3 to 3.5 years later, the Lord now in our text has gone back into the temple of God and again is cleansing it and dealing with some things that are out of order and some things that are not pleasing to God. He identifies, he uncovers, he declares against it, and literally makes a stand for that which is right. And several things that came to my mind considering that the Lord did it at the age of 30 in the beginning of his earthly ministry and had to do it again 3.5 years later was this, that my friend, we're always going to have to be dealing with keeping things in order in the church. If Jesus couldn't do it, my friend, we're not going to be able to do it, and we're going to have to constantly strive to, my friend, be involved in making sure things that are not right are made right and things that are right are kept right to the glory of God. This evening, we've got a job to do. And I want to say this evening that I know we're not the temple here that is in these passages of Scripture, but I am glad we are the church of the living God. Paul wrote to young Timothy and he said this. He said, I desire that I could come unto you and see you shortly, and paraphrase that. And Paul said, I'm going to write to you now before I get there, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. And the fact of the matter is tonight, this is not my home or your home. This is not a work tonight. This is not some man-made organization. Tonight as we sit here and we've entered into this place at 8:45 West Highway 25 70 in Newport this evening, this is the house of God. This is the church, and there's a right way to behave, and my friend, and there is a wrong way to behave. And this evening, too many folk are trying to make the church much like the world, and all the while the world's getting more churchy and the church is getting more worldly. And Jesus came in the temple, like I believe we ought to consider tonight about the house of God in our generation, and tried to deal with the things that were not right and show them what the house of God is all about. And this evening we understand tonight, and we're preaching on this thought, what church is all about. What is church all about tonight? If we was to take a survey, there's probably 60 folks, 70 folk here tonight. My friend, can I say this? We took a survey. Brother Gerald asked the question, what is church all about to you? I'd be amazing probably what the answers would be in the various things. And I'm not saying maybe there's not necessarily one right or wrong answer this evening, but amen, I think this passage of Scripture answers for you and that what Calvary Baptist Tabernacle ought to always remember at church is to be about. This evening, let me show you in this passage of Scripture by way of introduction what Christ had to deal with that at church is not to be about. Number one, consider with me, at church is not to be about financial gain. And you come this passage of Scripture, it's evident that the thing the Lord is dealing with is that the Bible said in verse number 12, had sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. He said plainly in verse 13, he said, you have made it a den of thieves. When you study this out, you'll find, and some have taken this verse out of context without understanding the background, and said that it's wrong to sell anything in the church. That's not what the Lord is saying. This crowd was there. There was a certain crowd that was involved, that when the commoners would come in, they would be there to sell doves and to sell sacrifices, and that crowd could go in and worship God and make an atonement for their sin. cut back, friend, what they were doing, they was literally charging up higher prices to get a financial gain off that crown that was coming up. And I say it sounds like a lot of churches today that are about financial gain. They want to see how big they can get their bank accounts. My friend, they want to see how much my friend they can accumulate, how fancy of a building they can accommodate, my friend, all the facilities. And I believe we ought to be first class and we ought to do things right. This evening, we're not a bank and we're not to be a financial institution, and our church is not about financial gain. We are but a channel, amen, a storehouse to bring in and channel through the tithes and offerings and giving of God's people, that we may do the work of God. Church is not about financial gain. Too many churches this evening, my friend, they ain't supporting missionaries. They're not doing the work of God because, my friend, they're afraid to spend a quarter. And I say this evening, we're not about financial gain. We're about doing the work of Almighty God. And so the Lord comes in and He has to deal with this matter of financial gain. Church is not about financial gain. Let me say this tonight. According to verse number 15, notice the Bible said, when the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased. This evening, I want to say that what the Lord is dealing with here shows you and I that church is not about fame and glory. Amen. The scribes and the Pharisees, they see the Bible said the wonderful things that Christ did, and how that, my friend, that crowd began to magnify the Lord and praise the Lord all the while. Amen. The Pharisees and the scribes had been forgotten about. They're used to receiving praise. They're used to being bragged on. And now, my friend, their fame and glory is fading out of the background, and they're upset because Jesus is getting the glory. Can I say tonight, at church is not about fame and glory. It ain't about you and I magnifying our net. It's not about, my friend, people know it, who the pastor of this church is, who the leaders of this church is, who, my friend, or even the name of the church is tonight. And I'm glad to be a part of Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. It's my church. You're my crowd. This is where I love to have my, amen, my family at this evening. But listen, it ain't about fame and glory tonight. It ain't about the community knowing how great of a church we are, how great or less of a pastor you have, how great of a membership we've got here tonight. But it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ being magnified and uplifted above all things. Can I say tonight, at church is not about fame and glory. Amen. We ought to say more about Christ than we do Calvary. Amen. Listen, our message ought to be that Jesus is the dearest friend we've ever had. And Jesus has made the difference in our life. Thank God for what He does through the church. We'll see that in a moment. But at the end of the day, it's not about our name. It's not about our fame. And it's not about our glory. And that, friend, it must be maintained at Christ get all the fame and all the glory and all the honor tonight. I've gone to some places and they make more of their preacher than they do the Lord. Shame on them. Can I say that tonight? Amen. Shame on them. It's not about the preacher. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Him having all the honor and glory that belongs to Him. Amen. I didn't come to Newport, Tennessee to build a kingdom for lead better. Amen. Amen. We come to do a work in the name of the Lord that He would get all the fame and all the glory. Amen. Because that's what church is about. Amen. Church is not about financial gain. Church is not about fame and glory. Can I say this tonight? Amen. That crowd got mad because somebody else got the glory. It's amazing what folk will do if you pat them on the back. It's amazing how they'll get involved in the church. church. Amen. If you let their name, put their name on the projector. Amen. And put their name on the lid of church. Amen. Friend, make a big deal about all they've done. It's amazing. Amen. Long as they get the glory, they'll be involved. And it ain't about fame and glory. Amen. It's about serving the Lord and Him getting the honor and the praise that He's deserving of. Well, I'm trying to get off that, but I see that being a problem in our generation. Amen. They make it about fame and glory. Let me say this evening. Amen. Here's a good church. It's not about financial gain. It's not about fame and glory. But, amen, I'll give you this and I'll move on to meet the message tonight. A church is not about fussing and grumbling. Amen. It ain't about fussing and grumbling. Notice what the Bible said. Amen. They see the wonderful things that He did. Verse 15, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna, the son of David, watch this now. They were sore displeased. And good old Tennessee hillbilly language, it simply means they got ticked off and they made a fuss, my friend, about this thing that they didn't like. In fact, the Bible said in verse 16, and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Amen. In other words, we don't like what's going on down here. And they made a fuss and a grumble, my friend, about what they didn't like. Amen. Can I say, and Jesus really pointed them back the word. He said, it really don't matter what you want to fuss and grumble about. Amen. If it's not out of line with the Bible, let it be. And I say, my friend, church is not a place for fussing and grumbling. We're not enemies tonight. I've been saying it in recent days, and not really by design. It just seems like it's coming out as I reflect on the services we've had recently. And we're on the same team. We're wearing the same helmet. Amen. We got the same jersey on tonight. Amen. We're not enemies. We're not in opposition to one another. Amen. Church is not about fussing and grumbling. It's amazing how many folks sitting in churches are quick to speak up about what they don't like. And I thank God it doesn't seem to be a problem around here tonight. Amen. So let me just preach preventatively tonight. Amen. It ought not ever be about fussing and grumbling. Amen. They didn't like it because they didn't get their way. Amen. They didn't like it because it wasn't the way they was used to it being done. And so they went to fussing and grumbling about it. Amen. Can I say tonight, church is not a place for fussing and grumbling. Amen. Ain't that right? I called Sister Bonnie today and was talking to her about some things, and I like what she said. She said something to the effect about, amen, there's a lot of folk that's left Calvary through the years, and she said, I don't know why they left. It's a good church. And she made this statement. She said, I guess they got their feelings hurt, and rather than hanging in there and dealing with it, they thought they'd just leave the church. Amen, ain't that how some folk are tonight? Amen, they get their feelings hurt. They don't like this and they don't like that. Amen, can I say tonight, thank God for a church that knows it ain't about fussing and grumbling. Amen, we ain't always going to see eye to eye, but we don't have to make a fuss about it. Amen, ain't that right? Amen, thank God. We ought to, amen, strive to have unity and strive, amen, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. Amen, to be as David said, amen, to be a beautiful and a pleasant place where the brethren dwell together in unity. When you come to this passage, man, I'm telling you, they're so out of line with what the house of God is to be about. Amen, and really what Jesus exposed to them. As their real problem is that they were not in tune to the Word of God. Can I say it? If Calvary Baptist Tabernacle will this evening stay in tune to the Word of God, amen, we won't have to worry about my friend getting out of line with the Lord. Amen, we won't be about them things that church ought not to be about. Amen, but we'll stay in line with the Lord. And so what's the Lord say? On two occasions, the Lord reminds them of the Word of God. He said in verse number 13, 13, it is written, he said in verse number 16, yea, have you never read? And so what's he doing? He's exposing to them that the house of God forsakes and forgets what the Bible says, that they're going to wind up failing in what the house of God is to be about. And so tonight we're preaching on what church is all about. We're not about financial gain. Amen. Thank God. God's been good to us and bless his place. Amen. I don't know of any preacher, amen, in our ranks, in our circles, that wouldn't gladly change positions with Calvary Baptist Tabernacle financially tonight. But we're not about financial gain. And we're not about fame and glory. And we're not about fussing and grumbling. So then what are we about tonight? Well, let me give you a handful of things this evening that I think church is all about out of this passage of Scripture. Number one, consider this with me tonight. Amen. We'll start negative and it end positive, but just hang with me. Amen. Number one, church is all about exposing sin. Amen. Exposing sin. I know it ain't popular in our day and in our hour, and there's a lot of folk that have strayed away from this, but what's what the Bible said? And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them and sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Amen. Amen. Church is all about exposing sin. Amen. We're here tonight. We exist tonight by the grace of God to be a place that would identify and expose what is right and what is wrong. Amen. This Joe Osteen mentality of religion in our day doesn't want to take any kind of stand against sin. Can I say the church is the pillar and the ground of truth? That is, we stand for what's right and we stand against what is wrong. Amen. Somebody said, I don't want to go to a church that preaches on sin. I don't want to go to a church that doesn't preach on sin. Amen. I got to have somebody. Listen, I'm wicked. Amen. I'm as wicked as you are. My flesh is as weak as your flesh. And my family is as corrupt as yours is. Amen. We need somewhere we can go that's going to identify sin and expose it and deal with it in our lives. Amen. Thank God for a church that all these years has been about exposing sin. Amen. If people shout or if people pout, amen, we ought to be about exposing sin. Amen. It matters not tonight the fallout or the effect of preaching against sin. Amen. The church is to be about exposing sin. And we ought not be rude and we ought not be mean about it. And my friend, this evening, there's a lot of, amen, can I just be blunt with you tonight? There's a lot of jerks in pulpits tonight that's out to make folk mad and make enemies. Said, I ain't trying to make nobody mad. I'm not out to get any more enemies. I got enough enemies. I got enough people that hate my guts. Said, my friend, listen, I don't want to be a jerk about it. Our church ought not be a jerk about it. We ought not be condescending about it. But at the same time, we ought not back up and be liberal and compromised. Church ought to be about exposing sin. Amen. Amen. We ought to be balanced in it. And notice with me, amen, the way Jesus exposed sin, he's teaching them what the house of God is to be all about. Amen. Notice he exposed sin directly. Directly when he went up. Amen. He didn't run over here and tell this crowd, amen, to tell that crowd they were wrong. He dealt with it directly. He dealt with it. My friend, he dealt with it head on. Amen. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't speak in parables. Amen. When he went in the house of God and exposed their sin, Brother Dane, he went in and he dealt with it and exposed it very directly. Amen. There are men who are masters tonight of speaking in general terms. In tonight, we're not necessarily dealing with any specific sin. When we do, we ought to call it by name and we ought to make it as black and ugly and dirty as God makes it in the Word and deal with it directly. I know some preachers, I've heard them say, I'm going to preach on sin tonight. And when they got done, I didn't know what was sin. I didn't know where they stood. My friend, we ought to deal with it in such a way, expose sin in such a way that, my friend, it is exposed directly. Oh, this with me, Jesus exposed sin dogmatically. Amen. There wasn't no tiptoeing through the tulips. There wasn't no squirting rose water and honey juice on anybody. Amen. He dealt with it dogmatically. When all the dust settled and all the tables were flipped over, amen, the smoke cleared out. Amen. And he laid the whip down. But then you didn't have to wonder where the Lord stood about what was going on in that house of God that day. And I say that's how we ought to expose sin. Amen. There ought not be anybody leave our, amen, leave our church at any given day on any given service. But Jerry goes, I wonder where they stand on drinking. I wonder where they stand on shacking and on smoking dope and smoking cigarettes and being a Democrat. I wonder where they stand on this issue or that issue. Amen. Can I say tonight, amen, we ought to make a dogmatic stand and people know when we've exposed sin. Amen. Directly and dogmatically. But a church is about exposing sin discernibly. Let me say this tonight. Amen. When I read these verses I've read to you again this evening, and Jesus went in and exposed what was wrong and dealt with the sin. Listen, not everybody was in sin there. There was some that was trying to do right. There was some that was trying to be right with God. There was some that had showed up. And my friend, they've done the best they could that day to do right. Amen. You know what I like and learn from the Lord, even as a pastor and the pastor of our church, is this. The Lord didn't go whooping the crowd that wasn't wrong. Amen. I had a woman one time, we was going through some church stuff, and I don't know if I've told this. I think maybe I've shared it in private with some folk before around the church, but we was going through some things. I was about to pull my hair out. I was aggravated. I'll be honest, I was mad, and I was getting up in the pulpit, and Brother Mike, I was beating on the sheep and just whooping everybody. Amen. Everybody's walking out bloodied and bruised and whooped down, and there's this lady, and she done it in the right way, in the right spirit. Amen. The Holy Ghost used it. She come to me one day after I just, blistered that whole church. And she said, Preacher, she said, I'm asking sincerely, have I done anything that has brought this on? Am I guilty of what you're preaching? She said, I don't think I am. But if I've done something, I'll get right. And she's one of the sweetest ladies to ever know. But then I said, Sister Seth, as far as I know, you've done nothing. And almost with tears running down her face, she said, well, Preacher, she said, I just want you to know I'm getting kind of tired and wore out taking somebody else's whooping. Yeah, man. There's some times my brother's done some things growing up and I got the whooping for it, and it made me resent my daddy and made me mad at my parents because, amen, I got a whooping that somebody else deserved. And can I say tonight, amen, everybody ain't wrong and everybody's not in sin tonight. Amen. And we ought to expose sin and deal with it directly and dogmatically. But Jesus dealt with it discernibly and dealt with the crowd that was wrong. Amen. And as a pastor, that's my desire. And listen, don't get mad at your pastor when he gets aggravated. Sometimes, amen, we pull our hair out and we just, amen, want something to be different than the way it is. It's going to happen sometimes. We're trying to be balanced and we're trying to expose sin, amen, and deal with those. Listen, I'm not one of these guys thinks everything's wrong. Some of these preachers act like if you breathe more than three times a day and eat more than one meal a day, and you didn't pray for 5 hours, you're in some great sin. Hey, friend, everything ain't wrong. Amen. And when we deal with sin, we ought to deal with it discernibly. Identify what's wrong. Amen. Call it out. Preach against those that are wrong. And then love on those that are right. Jesus had a crowd here that wanted to do right as he exposed sin. They got behind him. They didn't blow up and get mad. They backed him because they knew that he had their best interest in mind. I say tonight when we preach on sin, it ain't to hurt Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. It's to help you and to help your family. Amen. And when a preacher's exposing sin, amen, it is of necessity. Now, if everybody walks out the door tonight, amen, I hope by the grace of God I'll stand and still preach and magnify what's wrong and what's right. Amen. But listen, a preacher's got to know when he's exposing sin, there's somebody out there saying that's right. Amen. That ain't the time to go quiet. That's the time to say, amen. Amen. That's right, preacher. You're hitting me, but you preach on anyway. Yes. Amen. Church ought to be about exposing sin. Well, let me move on this evening. I feel like we're doing maybe more teaching than preaching than that. Amen. Church ought to be about exposing sin. Number two, it ought to be about expounding Scripture. Amen. Two occasions I've done pointed out, but Jesus reminded those that day about what the Word of God had to say. He said, it is written, verse 13, my house shall be called the house of prayer. And there the Lord took them back to Isaiah in chapter 56 in verse number 7 and reminded them and expounded to them the Word of God. He went down there in verse 16 and said, have you never read? And quotes, my friend, that is Psalm and chapter number 8. And there, amen, expounding to them again the Scripture. And I say we ought to be about expounding the Scripture. It ain't about your opinion. It ain't about my opinion. Amen. God forbid we'd ever stoop so low to be satisfied with the little Reader's Digest, a story, amen, and a tear-jerking story, amen, and a rib-busting joke, amen, to send us out the door happy, amen. Listen, I'll laugh and I'll weep and I'll cry with anybody, but at the end of the day, you know what we need? You know what we ought to be about? We ought to be about expounding Scripture. Amen, it's about what the Word said. Amen. So then faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Has our faith grow? Amen. Listen, it grows by getting in the church and being exposed to the expounding of Scripture. Amen. These guys, I'll not even give where, it's not important where, but somebody the other day had gone back to a church that I'm acquainted with, and I know they just got a new pastor, and he was trying to go back to the church, and there he got tired and he left and went down the road to another church. Somebody asked him why it didn't work out, why he couldn't hang out. He said, I'm tired of hearing people tell me about all that they used to do. I need to hear what the Bible says we're to be doing now. There's a lot, and I'm not against an illustration. I'm not really an illustrated preacher. Lord's let me preach a few messages that are illustrated, but listen to me tonight. At the end of the day, the most important thing is, what does God's Word say? Expounding Scripture. Amen. I'll be honest, and I may preach a topical message every now and then. I'm about burnt out on it. Amen. I've heard men get up. I've heard men preach multiple times. At Brother Mark, you hear them preach John 3:16. It's the same as if they preach Genesis 1:1 or the same they preach Revelation chapter 1. Amen. They always come back and ride a hobby horse. Listen, that Bible, amen, is to be expounded to give faith to God's people. Amen. We ain't got one message. Amen. If we've got one message tonight, it's this. Jesus is the answer. Amen. And we find out how he's answering the Word of God. Amen. I'm glad the Bible, and when it's expounded, amen, it'll tell you how to run your family. It'll tell you how to run your life. It'll tell you how to act on the job. It'll tell your children how to relate to your parents, and parents how to parent your children and husbands and wives, to be the spouse that they ought to be. I'm glad the expounding of Scripture has the answer. That's what we ought to be about. Amen. We like singing. I got to have, amen. Listen, Calvary Baptist Church got good singing. And as the pastor of this church, we're going to maintain, amen, and even try to get better all we can. That's why we change them hymn books out. We need some songs with life, not deadness. We need some life. Amen. And thank God for them new hymn books. And thank God the choir's singing the way they're singing. And we're going to have good singing. And we're going to have lots of it. But we ain't going to become no singing church. What you say, what are we? We're an old-timey King James Bible preaching church. Amen. People, we knock on doors and people ask me from time to time, well, what do you have? And I say, well, you know, we got youth group and we got outreach and we got Sunday school and we got these different things. But at the end of the day, all we have for you is what the Word of God has to say. We teach and we preach and we preach and we preach and we teach and we preach and we teach and we teach and we preach and we preach and we teach, and that's all we've got is the Word of God. I'm not against ministries, and we'll start some and we'll be a part of things. But at the end of the day, everything we do has got to come back. What does the Word of God have to say? Amen. Most churches, nothing more than a spiritual social club. Amen. A community social club with a steeple and a cross on the top. Amen. That's about all they are. They ain't got no Bible preached. Amen. They don't ever expound any scripture. My friend, the church is to be about the Word of God. I ain't going to be a part of a church that ain't grounded on the Word of God. Amen. Y'all can get a lot better preacher than I am, but I tell you this, and I promise you this, we'll preach by the Word of God. Amen. I'm just old sweating, stomping, hacking, amen, screaming preacher. Amen. Amen. You can get somebody more eloquent and somebody who knows how to do it and is hermeneutically and homiletically correct. But at the end of the day, Brother Danny, we're going to stand on the Word of God and expound the Scripture and expound the Scripture. And when you lack it, preach the Word. When you don't lack it, preach the Word. When you get mad or when you get glad, we're to be about exposing and exposing sin and expounding Scripture. What church is all about? Exposing sin, expounding Scripture. Number three. Amen. We're about done. Hang with me. We're to be about, churches to be about expressing supplication. Jesus said, you know what my problem is around here? God said it was to be the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. In other words, they had left off some things that the Word of God had clearly instructed them to be about. And Jesus coming into the temple reminds them that at the house of God is to be a place where you can come and pour your heart out to God and pray and call on His name. Amen. Listen, I'm glad for a prayer closet. Amen. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for somebody who practiced public prayer and didn't practice private prayer. Let me say this tonight. I'm glad, amen, at Calvary tonight, there's a place we can go that's dedicated as a house of God, a place we can pour our heart out to the Lord. It'll be a place of expressing supplication. Lord, listen, every time, that's why we got altars. Amen. It ought to be a constant thing in our lives when we come to church. I'm going to go talk to God. Amen. I know some folk physically are not able, amen, to come and get on an altar and pray. Somebody said, boy, I worry about them that always come to the altar. They must be pretty wicked. I worry about that crowd that don't ever come. That crowd that always comes, always weeping, always crying, always talking to God. Kathy, that ain't the crowd that bothers me. That crowd that sits back and they've always got it nailed down. And I'm not talking about people that physically can't, don't go getting all upset. I'm talking about a crowd that can. At the very least, I'd walk down here and sit down on a front bench. Amen. This whole area down here is designated for supplication. calling on God. God hears my need and hears my burden. Amen. Well, to be a praying church, it's one of the things I admire about Calvary in the nearly year that I've been coming here. It's one of the most praying churches I've ever been associated with. Amen. If I got a need, they some men and they some ladies in here tonight, I believe get a hold of the Lord. I believe they some folk, if I called them in the midnight hour and said, I need you to pray, and I can't even tell you what it's about, but I've got a desperate need. Amen. I believe they some folk wouldn't just say, yeah, I'll pray for you and roll over and go back to sleep. I believe, hallelujah. I believe they some folk that love God enough and love church enough and understand that their role in being a member of the church is to be a place where prayer is expressed on behalf of one another. Amen. You know, some churches they go through and never pray for each other. And I say that's a shame. Anybody can criticize how somebody else lives, how much you've been praying for one another. Amen. Expressing supplication. What are we on? Are we on number 3 or 4? All right, let me give you number 4. The Bible said here in verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Number 4, it's to be about evangelizing sinners. Amen. It's interesting to me that as Jesus came into the house of God in the temple, that Brother Jerry, the blind and the lame and people that were needy found their way to the house of God, and the Lord was able to do something for them. And it's amazing to me, evidently that crowd wasn't welcome or knew there was no use in going down there. When Jesus made his way in and things began to be cleaned up, amen, it became a place where in tape and in picture, the Lord could take a crowd that was needy, amen, and touch them. And the Bible said he was able to heal them. And I say church is about the blind and the lame being brought in and being introduced to the Lord and having the touch of God, amen, on their life where they can leave, as we've been preaching in recent weeks, leave different than they came. Amen. Notice this. Notice who the Bible said the Lord healed. It was the blind, Brother A.L., the blind and the lame. Now watch this now. The only way they're going to get the house of God, somebody's got to lead them. Somebody's got to go down there and say, hey, I know where they's old blind man at down there on the corner, and go, Brother Danny, grab him by the hand and lead him there. He can't get there on his own. Amen. Somebody else said, yeah, I know an old crippled man down there. He can't walk. Hey, you three buddies of mine, would y'all come down here? Let's get him and let's carry him down there to Jesus. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. In churches of our camps and our circles, and you're going to think, man, he just is beating. He's beating our camps and what we know to death. Listen, we've gotten so critical of the lost and dying world. Amen. We say, shame on them. They ought to come to church. Listen, they ain't going to come unless somebody goes and gets them. That's why Tuesday night, every Tuesday night at 6:30, we meet here and we knock doors and we go make visits and we try to, amen, go to your friends and your neighbors and invite them to come. Why? Because church is about evangelizing the lost. It ain't about sitting around talking about how sold out and separated we are. Amen. It's about reaching out, Brother Jordan, reaching out of the blind and the lame of our community and bringing them in so their lives can be made different. Somebody's got to lead this crowd there. Amen. That story over there in Mark 2, Jesus got in that man's house and it was so full, and the Lord's expounding to them the scripture. Amen. And then they four men that said, we got a friend down here that's crippled and he can't get in. And they take him in on his bed and get in the house and see they can't even get him in because of the press. And they did everything they could. They climbed the house, got up on the roof, got the clay out of the way, and lowered him down low because they knew that man's only hope was them getting him to Jesus. The Bible said, you remember the lad, the Bible said when Jesus saw their faith, When he, it wasn't, amen, when he saw their faith, when he saw their faith in action, that they were willing, as friend, to go through any expense and any amount of labor and any amount of work, amen, where they would toil and labor to get that man to Jesus. Jesus was able to make a difference in a crippled man's life because of the faith of four men. Brother A.L. said some time ago, and I'd have to agree with him, you know what Calvary Baptist Tabernacle needs? Faith in God, that God can save sinners. Amen. I believe it, Brother A.L. Amen. And thank God he saved a few here in recent days, and we rejoice in that. But why can't that be something that's common? Well, you know, we just live in the last days, and I don't believe none of that. Amen. The reason sinners ain't getting saved, it ain't the world's fault. They're as wicked as they've ever been. Amen. The church has lost a burden and has quit evangelizing sinners. You say, but preacher, we don't see much of a difference. Well, amen, I've told you before and I say it again. Amen, you're going to get sick of hearing it. Amen, it's not about outcome, it's about obedience. Jesus said, go, we ought to go. And the more we go, the more burden we ought to have, amen, to reach somebody and go by one and go by two and go by pairs and go out understanding Calvary Baptist Tabernacle has got to be about evangelizing sinners. Amen. We was down at the, and we learned a lot. It didn't go the way we wanted it to go, but at least we tried something. Down there, Brother William, at the high school. And we got to meet a lot of folk. I got to meet some folk I'd been wanting to meet. And I thank the Lord, and who knows what the Lord will do with that feeble little effort. But we learned a lot of things. We'll go back and do it again, and we'll do it better. Amen. At least we tried something. Somebody say amen right there. And we was passing them cards out, and I forget who it was. Somebody come back and told me they give one to some preacher. And he said, boy, y'all spending a whole lot of money on tracts, ain't you? Number one, it wasn't a whole lot of money. It's about $100-something for 2,500 of them. That ain't too bad, is it? Amen? But that's right. Why are we gonna fuss about spending money on seed? Amen? You're going to get a garden growing, you're going to have to go spend some money on some seed. Amen? Ain't that right? You don't go, amen, you don't go buy no seed that looks all old. You're going to go buy some good seed that looks good, put it in the ground with the expectation it's going to grow something. Amen, can I say, amen, we ought to spend the money, we ought to spend the labor, we ought to carry the burden, amen, and be about evangelizing sinners. Everybody knows somebody lost. Amen. Everybody knows somebody that needs what Jesus gave you. Get a burden for them. Number five. Amen. And I'm done on this. What church ought to be about? Amen. It ought to be about exalting the Savior. The Bible said, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, ain't you glad for the wonderful things God does for you in church? Amen. I'd just be honest, I couldn't go to church with a disco ball and they worked me up and sent me out the door. Amen. The same way, I'm glad I'm a part of a church where God can do wonderful things in my life. They see this, and it's evident the Lord is moving it. And what takes place, the Bible said, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. In other words, as the Lord makes His way in, the house of God begins to be cleaned up. There's sinners getting saved. There's saints beginning to pray again. The Scriptures are being expounded. Sin has been exposed. There's a crowd that says, Hosanna! Praise the Lord! Bless His name! Hallelujah! And they began to exalt the one that ought to be exalted. They didn't. They got their ass off of the preacher. They got their eyes off what was wrong, and they got their eyes upon the one that had made a difference in the house of God that day. And I say that the church ought to be a place that, my friend, you can constantly hear the echoes of the exaltation of the Son of God. Amen. This crowd, they didn't care who was there. They didn't care who was watching it. They didn't care who liked it. They didn't care who didn't like it. They didn't care what was said about it. They made up their mind, we will exalt the one that has made the difference in church today. Can I say that ought to be what Calvary Baptist Tabernacle is about? It ought to be a place where hands of thanksgiving are uplifted to the Lord. It ought to be a place where my friend, people jump up like popcorn when testimonies are called for. It ought to be a place that when the choir is singing the songs of Zion and magnifying the Savior, at the congregation says, "Woo! Hallelujah!" Amen. Too many churches. I told somebody the other day, even here at Calvary, I've gotten the choir and I've been trying to get up there and give a little laugh in the choir. I think I'm going to have to get out, come sit in the pew and teach y'all that sit out here how to act. Amen. I ain't mad at you. I'm just telling you, you ain't right. Bunch of deadheads. Knots on a log. Amen. We ought not come in with lips of silence. Do you know how many times, Brother Gerald, that Bible says we're to lift up our voice to the Lord? We're to lift up our hands to the Lord. We're to give worship to the Lord. We're to give praise to the Lord. Well, I do it in my heart. I doubt it. Amen. When we come to church, it ain't. Amen. We here for one thing, and that is to make sure He gets maximum glory. And it ought to start in the heart, but what's in your heart does come out. And I know we don't all do it the same way. Brother Mac, I about ripped a bench up the other day, and I know everybody don't act like that. I ain't telling Gerald he's got to rip up a bench. But we can at least do what the Bible told us to do. Right. Yes. Yes. Amen. You say, but I'll be embarrassed to act like that. You know why that crowd exalted the Savior? They didn't care about being embarrassed. Somebody said, well, all that shouting, it's about show. Try it sometime. Tell me how that makes the flesh feel good. It embarrasses the flesh. Amen. We had our camp meeting over at my first church, Jubilee meeting, and one of the best service, if not the best service I can ever remember being in my life, we was in one night, and when I come to, sister, I was on top of the organ screaming, shouting, and I realized what I was doing, and my old flesh didn't say, hey, everybody, look at me. I come to and I thought, how in the world am I going to get off of here without breaking my neck? Amen. I ain't telling you, Brother Dan, you got to come jump up on the organ. But we can at least say, Lord, I love you. I agree with what they're singing about. I agree that at preaching that magnifies the grace of God and the Son of God, I can exalt the Savior on that right there. Amen. It was learned praise. Notice what the Bible said. The children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna, the Son of David. Jump back, if you will, in verse number 8. A very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? The multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Ain't it amazing? The children in our text verse 15 and 16 is crying the same thing they seen somebody else do in the earlier part of the chapter. Can I say this? Exalting the Savior is something that spreads. If Dina do it, more than likely, amen, more than likely, Brother Jeff will be over a few seats down in the choir, and he'll see Dean go, hey, something about that right there that my spirit goes, yeah, that's right. And sis, you get over there, I'll see her weeping and crying and her hand going there, and there'll be something jump on me and say, oh yes, I feel it too. And I'll look over there and I'll see Brother L. I love it when he does it. Amen. Brother Jerry, that does something to me. Amen. When I see that, it's learning me something. It's right here to praise Him. Amen. I'll see old Brother Jerry leading that choir and he gets excited and he put his hand in there. You know what he's doing? He's leading and learning people to exalt the Savior. Old-time religion, y'all know it's dying out. Thank God it's alive here, but across our country it's dying out. And these young boys and young ladies that God's let be a part of this church, if they're going to carry it on, they're going to have to see us come alive.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all remember, I remember going to different camp meetings and they'd be children running laps with their daddies, sons running laps with their daddies. Little girls in the pews with their hands up in the air while mama was worshiping God. Amen. I remember being a little boy going down to Pleasant View camp meeting and old Sister Biddle getting out in the aisle to shout. I remember being a little boy lost saying, I don't understand all that, but that looks like fun right there. You know what it done? It learned me. It taught me something about exalting the Savior. Notice it was loud praise. Bible said they cried. Amen. You say, what's that mean? That means they got loud about it. They made a fuss about it. Amen. And then notice with me, it was loathed praise. Bible said there's a crowd set back, milked their chin, and said, I don't even know if that's real or not. You always going to have them around. They always going to be that crowd. Some going to say, I ain't doing it. I don't know why they doing it. But can I say it was loved praise? Jesus said, hey, they just doing what the Bible told them to do. And He loved it and received it and would not rebuke them. Hey, you won't get rebuked from the Lord for praising Him. He's a God that what inhabits the praises of His children. He said, boy, I need God to come down today. Praise Him. Joe Arthur said, just praise Him till you feel like praising Him. When you don't feel like praising Him, praise Him till you do feel like praising Him. There's been times, man, I've come in, my tracks dragging out behind me, some man, I don't even really feel like being here. And say, well, the Bible said to go. The Bible said sing and to worship and praise Him before it was over. Brother Jerry, I felt pretty good about it. Amen. You come in dragging your tracks and you leave skipping on to your car and excited the rest of the week. Why? Because you praised Him even when you didn't feel like it. Believe I'm right about it, because He inhabits the praises of His people. What church is all about. I know, Betty, I know that ain't deep, but it's still right. It ain't no deep discovered new thing, but it's just what we ought to be about. Somebody said, and we're getting new people, and we're getting visitors come through. They said, well, what are you about? Well, we're about exposing sin. We're about expounding Scripture. We're about expressing supplication. We're about evangelizing sinners. And we're about exalting the Savior. It's that simple. We ain't got to make church harder than the Lord has intended for it to be. Amen. Ain't that right? Amen. Keep the main things the main things. So I don't know about this. I don't know about that. Well, I know this. We in line with them five things, best I can tell. Now, if we not, you come see me tonight and tell me where we're not. Okay? Is that fair? Yes. Brother Will, if we ain't in line with them five things, you come tell me tonight, and we'll do our best. Repent, get it right, and line up. Amen. But if you're mad about something other than them five things, just talk to Jerry about it. Amen. Father, we love you tonight. You've been so good to us. Been good to this church all these years. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for your blessings. And Father, now as we get ready to close this service, Lord, we just want to end, Lord, thanking you that, Lord, you've given us your word. You give us your grace. Lord, to top it all off, you give us a place that we can come and worship you and have fellowship with other believers. This little manifestation of heaven on earth that, Lord, we can come and gather, Lord, around your word and around you with all the saints of God. Lord, I pray you're continuing added blessings to our church. You know the things that we're working on, the things that need to be accomplished, the way, Lord, we're trying to move the ministry forward to the glory of God. Lord, I pray that you'd empower us and give us all wisdom. And Lord, you know, Lord, many a days we don't know what to do. Lord, you're all we've got. We're leaning on you. Lord, leaning on your word. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us. Lord, I pray even, Lord, as we get ready for the weekend now, the Lord's Day coming up, would you bless it? Lord, there's going to be sinners, Lord, in the building. We pray for Roger, Lord, that needs to be saved. And Lord, has been under conviction. Lord, we pray for Charlie Ann. Lord, don't know how she can stand anymore than, Lord, the conviction that you've already put on her. I pray you'd speak to her again. Lord, we're thinking of others that have made their way in that, Lord, we don't know if they're saved or not. But Lord, you do. And so, Lord, I pray every sinner would be convicted on the weekend, and that, Lord, the saints of God would come in and put to practice that exalting of the Savior and spending time in prayer and evangelizing somebody between now and then and leading the blind and the lame in, that, Lord, we could expound the Scripture and, Lord, just be what you've called us to be. Lord, we love you tonight. Help us now as we close in prayer together here in a moment. Hear every prayer that's offered up. Meet every need. Answer every request. Lord, help carry every burden tonight that'll be poured forth to you. Lord, we'll leave here just rejoicing and thanking you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.